I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
Hello and welcome back to another KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch and Taylor Phelps here with you on this Friday, June 28th. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today, Taylor. We've got the NBA draft, Dwight Howard, the Rangers taking 2 of 3 from the Yankees, Wimbledon, a lot of stuff going on there, and of course your Aaron Hernandez update, which I'm sure everyone cares about down in Cowboys country. But a lot of stuff going on, so what do you want to start off first today?
Well, let's start off with the most drama-filled topic, okay. Just the NBA, and right. I think that it's just the nature of the game, how one player can affect the game so much, and your draft picks are so important because, you know, you get one player, you're automatically a championship contender. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we've seen with the free agency drama right now, and this will really be the last time that we have a rush of NBA news till, you know, when the season starts.
October, yeah.
So let's definitely start with that, and I guess let's start with the draft that happened last night. Anthony Bennett going number one to the Cavaliers was a big-time surprise, and a few of the point guards falling down a little bit.
Yeah.
But let's start, definitely, since we're down here near Dallas, start with the Mavericks pick, Shane Larkin from Miami. And I think the Mavericks did well last night, picking up a point guard who's played in the pick-and-roll before and definitely left themselves some cap room for a run at Dwight Howard, which we'll talk about a little later. Yeah. But what are your thoughts on the draft, Coop?
I agree completely with the Grantland article that was put out today that said last night the NBA was drunk.
Yes.
That this draft saw, I think, more trades than we've ever seen of draft picks, and they saw more actual trades at the end of the draft, too. That huge trade of Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Jason Terry for a bunch of Nets players and draft picks. That's a huge trade.
It's almost like people didn't know what to do. It was just the talent was so dispersed, than we talked about before, that we don't think this is a bad draft.
Yeah, this is just a
role-playing draft. Mm-hmm. And it's not. There might be one or two all-stars that creep up and we're like, wow, where did this guy come from? Mm-hmm. But overall, I think from top to bottom, any one of these guys can be a sixth, seventh, eighth man in the NBA easily.
Definitely.
Even when you get down to picks in the second round and you start looking at like Pierre Jackson was picked 42nd to the 76ers, he can easily get in and play there.
Or Ricky Leto for the Mavericks.
Yeah, and we
43.
Talked about Peyton Siva. Mm-hmm. It was like one of the last picks in the draft to the Pistons, and that's a guy who won a national championship, a very good point guard, very explosive. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely, I think, going to see a lot of surprises in this draft.
Yes,
moving forward.
Well, let's talk just about some surprise teams and just what happened. First, I think the Mavericks surprised a lot of people. They had to do what they did because they lost the three best point guards in the draft in Burke and Carter Williams
and McCollum.
So they traded away that pick, and they traded to the Celtics, gave them Kelly Olynyk, who is a good player but has some motor issues, I guess you could say.
Yes, he's a little slower. He's actually, if you're going to compare him to anyone, he's like Dirk. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give him that highly of a compliment.
He doesn't have the heart of Dirk yet.
No, not yet. But as we saw, Dirk came in the league and was a lot like him, just a skinny 7-foot dude who would shoot and wasn't very aggressive. But we'll see how he pans out with the Celtics. But the main issue there was cap room. Mm-hmm. And the cap room for Dwight Howard is the biggest issue, as he is the hottest free agent on the market today. Yeah. And looking at both Houston and Dallas is very high possibilities.
Well, let's try to stay on the draft for just this first half of the show. more about the Mavericks. They ended up getting another pick, who was a 7-foot center. I don't remember his name, but they then traded him to another team and ended up with Shane Larkin, who is a point guard out of Miami. Really good stuff from him. Led Miami to a 20-plus win season, which no one thought they'd do. They thought they'd finish 6th or 7th in the ACC instead of 1st or 2nd. So he's a really good surprise, I think, and a really good pickup for the Mavericks. But how about some other teams? I'm looking on ESPN's Insider draft grades right now, and so far I'm seeing, you know, some surprises like the Celtics. They made that huge trade for Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Jason Terry for They traded Chris Humphries and Gerald Wallace and like three other players and two first round draft picks in the next few years.
Yes.
So they got a B+, and they also managed to get Olnik and drafted Colton Iverson at 53rd pick. And then looking at the Nets, who were their trade partners, they got a B, which I don't understand. I don't agree with that at all. I think they had a very bad draft because all they got out of the draft was Mason Plumlee, who
definitely, yeah, I just see him as being, I mean, he's not going to play. He's not going to play with the guys they have there.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can't argue with their starting lineup, though, if they're going to start KG.
I don't know.
Brook Lopez, Paul Pierce, another aging guys, but yeah, you do have some firepower in Darren Williams and Brook Lopez.
But you have to question if...
And they still have Joe Johnson. They really didn't give any of their big three pieces.
Right. But you have to question if Paul Pierce is even going to play this year or if he's just going to retire because he wants to retire as a Celtic.
Yeah.
And you have to question if Garnett has anything left in the tank. I mean, I think there's been more questions about him and his age than there's been about Tim Duncan.
Oh, definitely. And just the way he plays is the reason for that.
Yeah. But
I just think I think we'll see one more season out of them with full-on effort.
Okay.
I think that everybody wants to win a championship, mm-hmm, but it's harder to do it when you don't see it as a possibility. And with this Nets team, I think it's a very real possibility because it's not all on Paul Pierce's shoulders. It's not all on Kevin Garnett's shoulders.
Right.
It's play the way you've played your whole career with heart and with the skills that you can bring to our ball club and help us win. And as we've seen, the Nets are a very good team. And when you add a few pieces like that, you add a shooter off the bench in Jason Terry. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, who would you give your best draft grade and your worst draft grade to?
I think my best one goes – my best one's tricky because I think so many teams did well. I think the Mavericks did well. I think mm-hmm. the Timberwolves did very well, even with trading Trey Burke for who they got.
Yes.
I even think the Pistons did well with their late draft pick. I think when I give an overall grade, I like what the Timberwolves did.
Okay.
They filled some holes, is what they needed to do
right.
When they traded Trey Burke. I'm trying to remember. I know they traded him to Utah. We talked earlier, they got Shabazz Muhammad.
Yeah, they got Shabazz Muhammad, and then they picked up Dang later on.
Picked
in the
up
draft.
Dang, yes.
And then they also got Lorenzo Brown. And
so they got the shot blocker in Dang, mm-hmm. Jang from Louisville, who's very could be like a Serge Ibaka when you watch him play. And Shabazz Muhammad's just a talent, yeah. So we'll see how he progresses.
Yeah, and then their second round picks, Brown and Bojan Dubljevic. I'm probably slaughtering that. Brown is another point guard, so they did draft a point guard after all. But like Ricky Rubio, he's not the best shooter. But now Dubljevic is a terrific shooter, but he lacks athletic ability, which is kind of a question mark for him too. But I think really good draft for them. What about your worst draft?
My worst draft is without question the Bobcats. Cody Zeller at number 4. I don't understand that at all. Why pick up Cody Zeller when Nerlens Noel is available? And Nerlens Noel might be injured, but Cody Zeller does not have the potential that Noel has. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be real. Cody Zeller is a very good player. He could be like a Tyler Hansbrough at what he does for Indiana right now. But that's not what the Bobcats need. The Bobcats need an explosive player who has a lot of potential if they want to be good. They don't need role players. So I think they really wasted a draft pick there at 4 in mm-hmm. Cody Zeller. And I don't understand the pick. And I've talked to people that this past week, I was talking to someone who has a friend that works for the Bobcats.
Okay.
And he says that the problem is Michael Jordan. And as great of a player as he was, he's a terrible GM. And everybody knows that. Terrible owner, terrible GM. And he says that they have scouts. I mean, the NBA have scouts that go out and look at everyone for long periods of time, and mm-hmm. that's their job.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan will see a person on SportsCenter or an NCAA tournament and say, this is the guy I want. Mm-hmm. And he's going off one game. He really needs to let the people do their job Just we see that in all sports. You see that in Jerry Jones and the Cowboys.
We saw that with Wayne Gretzky coaching. He wasn't a very good coach.
Yes, wasn't a very good coach. And so I think the same thing happens there. But if we go back to best, and I just realized this again when I'm looking at the draft board, the momentarily best draft pick I loved was the New Orleans Pelicans picking up Nerlens Noel. Mm. But then trading him away, which traded him away for Jrue Holiday, very good point guard. But I think everyone wanted to see Nerlens Noel towers, and Anthony Davis in the middle and be just a twin towers.
Right.
I mean, it's hard. It'd be hard to get a shot off against those two guys.
Well, I think for me, my I've got two worst. I've got the Indiana Pacers as one of my worst and the Toronto Raptors as my other worst.
Okay.
Now, the Raptors are there because they didn't have any draft picks. So yes. You can't have a very good draft if you don't have any draft picks.
And they're not a big free agent market.
Right. But my other big draft disappointment is the Pacers. And I say the Pacers because they only had one draft pick and they picked up Solomon Hill. Now, Solomon Hill is an okay player, but I just don't think he fits the Pacers system. I don't think he's worthy of the 23rd pick of the draft. I think there's a lot of people still left that could have been taken over him.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think in this draft, you needed to take a little bit of a risk and take someone with a lot of potential. And right. I think that's why with the number one overall pick in the draft, I'm kind of okay with it. I think I rather would have had Noel because I see just so much potential there, or even McLemore. But, I mean, Anthony Bennett's a big guy. I mean, 6'8", 240, I think. He can play that small forward spot. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the Cavaliers seen. I haven't seen his workouts. I just know he's looks like a tremendous athlete. So
yeah. I think my best draft, I mean, there's all sorts of teams that did really well. The Washington Wizards drafted well. The Jazz drafted well. I think the Kings had an amazing draft just because McLemore happened to be there. Maybe it wasn't them having a good draft, but they just happened to pick it up.
Everyone else screwing up, yeah.
The Trailblazers had a good draft. But I think my draft grade, my overall winner, goes to the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, they got Nerlens Noel, who has a few question marks with his knee, and they already dealt with a year of Andrew Bynum knee injuries, so that's a question mark. But they also got Michael Carter-Williams and Arsalan Kazemi. Now, that is a huge draft. When you get Nerlens Noel and Michael Carter-Williams, you get rid of Jrue Holiday, who's an all-star point guard, but he's not the future of your franchise. Mm-hmm. And it looks like they're going to get rid of Andrew Bynum. They're going to let him go on free agency with this Nerlens Noel pick. So they'll probably have a terrible 2014 season, maybe get 20 wins. But that means they'll have another first-round draft pick because they're going to get one in this trade from the Pelicans, which I don't understand why they gave him a first-round draft pick in that. But they're going to get a 2015 draft pick from them, and they're going to have a 2015 draft pick of their own, probably in the lottery section because they're going to bomb the season. So 2015 season, they're going to come out with some ridiculously good young talent.
I definitely think so. But as we turn to a different point also, the Suns with Alex Lynn, I don't understand that
pick. I didn't get that one at all.
I'm under the impression that Gortat is still there.
Yeah,
who is a very good center. One of the best, I think one of the best in the league with his scoring ability, and he's just never on TV, as the Suns aren't very good. But Alex
and Lynn has also coming off of a stress fracture surgery.
Yes, I would much rather have had Noel there, a guy who they say is just as healthy as the other centers. He's just recovering right now. And a guy who can run the floor. I mean, just a very tall, athletic guy. I just don't know how you take Alex Lynn over Nerlens Noel. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm. So is that your questionable call of the draft?
That's definitely my question that I don't understand. I have to talk to someone that was in the room and get why in the world they thought, let's take Alex Lynn when you had so much other young talent there.
Before they traded him away, I thought that Minnesota's draft of what was that point guard they drafted? They drafted Trey Burke. I thought that was my biggest question mark, but then they traded him away, and I thought that was a great move.
Oh, I thought it was definitely just a great move to pick up the best player at that spot and then see what you can do with him. And that's kind of what Jay Billis hinted on as your best bet in the draft last night.
But I think my biggest question mark, obviously, for me, has to be Anthony Bennett. I think he's a safe choice, and I think he can produce, but he's 18 pounds overweight right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the most talented player in the draft by far. I don't know. I just don't know if they need him. So
I definitely think he's just, like you said, he's just a safe pick, and mm-hmm. I think the Cavs are getting ready for the future and getting ready for that big free agency. And
They want LeBron back.
And I've heard reports of them looking for trades, too, looking to try mm-hmm. to get another big piece, like Kevin Love or someone like that who doesn't want to be where they're at. And you know, if it's Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, and LeBron James, I think we can definitely say it's over.
Yeah. And if they just happen to bomb this next season and get another lottery pick,
then it will be insane.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back in just a minute and talk the free agency drama and not only Dwight Howard, but who the Mavericks can go after if they don't get Dwight Howard. But we'll be back in just a minute. This is KETR's Locker Room.
KETR.org to support great public radio right now in your neck of the woods. And you know, it's easy because not everybody enjoys the telephone anymore. Well, maybe at least talking on the telephone or sending text messages, checking social media. Well, while you're doing that, just visit KETR.org as well. You can do it on your phone, you can do it on your laptop, on your desktop, or your tablet, and you can become a new member of KETR right now at KETR.org.
Hi, I'm John Itzty from NPR News. You don't have to cover the economy as I do to know that many people have few resources to spare these days. Thank you for sharing your precious resources with us. It makes a huge difference. In fact, if it weren't for your financial support, we simply wouldn't be here every day with the high-quality, fact-based journalism you've come to expect. Thank you for keeping this important enterprise going.
All right, we're back here on KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch and Taylor Phelps here. All right, so Taylor, we talked a lot about the draft and mentioned Dwight Howard in there and some other trade opportunities, stuff going on in the free agency world. So let's talk Dwight Howard. Now, Dwight Howard has reportedly, according to Chris Broussard, said he's unlikely to re-sign with the Lakers. I can't talk today. So what are the best options? Best bet is looking like the Rockets. They've got the cap room. They've got James Harden. They've got a coach Howard likes. And Howard was seen looking for a house, as was reported by you. But they play up-tempo, perimeter-oriented basketball, and that's not how Howard thrives.
No, not at all.
So Houston would have to change the way they play, and they'd have to get rid of a few people. So mm-hmm. how likely do you think Houston is?
I don't know, because I think Dwight's big deal is he wants to be the face
of the franchise.
The face of the franchise, but not have all the same responsibility.
Yeah.
And I think with the Rockets being right there and with having James Harden right there, I think even if he goes to the Rockets, I think James Harden already being there a year and establishing himself,
yeah,
I think he's still the man.
He has a beard. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's still fear the beard there. I don't think that's going to change just overnight. So I really think, and the people he plays with is a big thing too. He needs to look at the situation. Like you said, if he goes to the Rockets, right now it's an up-tempo style. That's not going to change overnight.
Yeah.
He's going to be one of the floor runners. Well, they may be able to post him up more, and I think Kevin McHale's a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't see it being just the best fit for him. I think that if he really wants to go somewhere in Texas, I mean, this is part of the Mavs fan speaking in me, I think that the Mavericks are a great choice for him. I think they have a great owner. They have good fans. I think if he was to run a high-low offense with Dirk Nowitzki, I mean, how are you going to stop it? Because you can't leave Dirk, and Dirk can shoot whenever he wants. Nobody can stop his shot. And then what are you going to do? Double down on Dirk and double down on Howard and leave Dirk open? That's not going to work either. And there's several point guards that are free agents also that they can pick up. I think a Brandon Jennings is only $4 million.
Yeah, I mean, if he'd signed his extension with the Bucks, he should have got a lot more, and then they probably would have traded him.
Yeah.
But instead he said, no, I'm going to see what the market's going to give
Definitely.
Me. And that was a mistake.
And, yeah, I don't see anyone as really giving him huge money, and I think he's a great player. I mean, he basically led Milwaukee by himself to a finals appearance. First round playoff appearance.
If the Spurs had faced them, I wouldn't even.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been worried for the Spurs at all. But definitely a guy like him. Mm. There's several other, even DJ Augustine, the backup guy. But
Shane Larkin is a good point guard, too.
Oh, not at all. But I don't think he's ready to just
be the guy that
comes in. They're not going to be contenders.
Right.
And if they get somebody like Brandon Jennings, I think they are, and get somebody like maybe a Jared Bayless as a backup.
Right. Well, tell me this then. What do the Mavericks have to do to make the cap room and do other things to get Howard? What all do they have to do?
Right now, they don't have many players under contract, to be honest. I think if we stopped right now, the Mavericks wouldn't have a team. Dirk makes, I think he's up to make $22 million next year, which is quite a bit of money. But I think he'd take a little less than he could have.
Of course he would.
Because he's been in the league so long, and just to put some good people around him.
Right.
Vince Carter's a $3 million guy. So he's not really cost him that much, and his play is pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think he wants to stay there. The biggest problem is Sean Marion.
He's the only other player on contract right now.
Yeah. He's the big problem. I mean, besides like the lower level, Jay Crowder, I think, is under contract, but he's not even making $1 million. So,
yeah.
But Sean Marion, with a $9 million salary, they're really trying to shop him around and look at trades.
Mm-hmm. Or just amnesty him.
Just try to get his salary off the books so we can open up the room. And, I mean, the Lakers can offer Howard more than anybody, but...
Yeah, $20 million more in a year.
Definitely. But, I mean, the income tax, the state taxes in California are so high, and we have none of those here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely think that money is not the problem. It's where do you fit in best? Where do you really want to be?
And he's looking to be the face of the franchise, where he can be the superhero but not have all the responsibility like you talked about.
Yes, I mean, the Lakers are a huge responsibility. I think if he comes to Houston or Dallas, well, they all love him because he's just Dwight Howard.
Right. Well, let's talk about the Lakers because they are third in the scenario. Howard's notoriously indecisive. As last time we went through all this, he said he wanted to be traded repeatedly by the Magic, and then he ended up taking the option on the final year of his contract and playing another year with them. And then he left in free agency. But, I mean, a lot of ridiculous stuff going on with Howard here. And I don't know.
I think he doesn't want to play with Kobe.
Right, and I'll talk about that. He could end up with the Lakers, though. I mean, he really doesn't.
That's a very, very likely possibility. I mean, we talk about all the other stuff, but there's a huge chance that he's just going to re-sign.
Well, let's talk about why Howard doesn't like the Lakers. He doesn't like the offensive style. He's talked about not wanting to play with Kobe or at least play second fiddle to him. Mm. He doesn't really like Pau Gasol that much. We can see that on the court, and Pau doesn't seem to like him. And I think Pau, honestly, is tired of being shopped around every free agency period. And honestly, I do think it's time for him to go. I think it's time for him to leave.
It's just, you know, separate. Just part ways. You've been through this so much drama.
Yeah.
He's not going to be the same guy because, like you said, you're shopping him around. Nobody wants to be, you know, just shopped around all the time and felt like they're not really important to the success. Yeah. And so I just think the Lakers are better off to get rid of him.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, if Dwight says, I'll stay in L.A. if Kobe's gone, I think the Lakers will amnesty Kobe. Because for one thing, that save them huge money on the contract situations and open up a lot of room. Maybe they could even convince Chris Paul to jump ship. It's not very likely since they just got Doc Rivers. But maybe they could convince him, or maybe they get Josh Smith or, you know, whatever else is going on. But let's move on to the Lakers. Let's talk someone else. The Hawks are a distant fourth, and the only reason they've even been mentioned is because Howard is from Atlanta. Now, they still have to re-sign Josh Smith, too, if they even want to have a good team. And they only have enough cap room for one of the two. So,
yeah,
who's it going to be?
I don't see him going to the Hawks at all.
Yeah.
They're his hometown, and that's the only reason they have the money, but I don't see Howard with the Hawks. That just doesn't fit to me.
And then,
but the Josh Smith thing, either, I don't see that either. I think the Hawks need to say, okay, rebuild.
Yeah.
It's time to start over and rebuild. We tried the best we could. We got some good players, but, you know, let's rebuild.
They've always been, I think, honestly, for the past 6-7 seasons, you've been like, well, the Hawks managed to make the playoffs. Wow, the Hawks
they make playoffs
40 wins.
Almost every year for the past 6 or 7 years.
They've been a good enough team, but not a great team.
No, and who cares if you're good enough? That's the thing.
Would you rather have a team that sucks most of the time but wins a championship every 5 to 10 years, or a team that makes the playoffs every year but never gets past?
I'd go for the championship every time. You're going to get tired of making the playoffs and never making a push, and that's what the Hawks are in right now.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the dark horse in all of this, the Clippers. Now, the Lakers have said they will not sign and trade Dwight Howard, and that's the only way they could get him if they sign Chris Paul, too. But it could happen. You never know. A lot of crazier things have happened, and I think Howard in that situation would be the happiest he could be because he's got Chris Paul. He's got Doc Rivers is his coach. He's got a lot of really good bench players, especially if they somehow manage to keep Eric on the bench.
Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah, Bledsoe. I always get him and Gordon confused. But I really do think that the Clippers would be the perfect situation for him. It's probably not going to happen, but
I don't think the Lakers want, like,
no,
they don't want that.
That
because they don't want the Clippers being the team.
So, they've already become the team.
And they're not going to help him out anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
But, I mean, think about who they'd want back for that trade. They'd probably get Blake Griffin and maybe throw in another 2 or 3 bench players in there. I mean, you could make a case for it.
You could definitely make a case, and I think Blake Griffin would be a better fit with Kobe.
And a better fit with D'Antoni.
Yeah, definitely. But I still think the Lakers see, oh, Blake Griffin is not what Dwight Howard is.
No, and Blake Griffin's numbers, rebounds, and scoring have gone down consistently every season.
Yes, exactly.
So, well, is there anyone else that has a chance to get Dwight Howard?
I don't think so, it's strictly because of money. It's not that he doesn't want to go. If Dwight Howard had his way, he'd go play with the Heat.
Okay,
just to get all the pressure off his shoulders, but that's never going to happen.
Do you think maybe a sign-in trade for Chris Bosh?
You know, that's something that hasn't been discussed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably the Heat would be very wise to do that. But I don't.
And then
think
I would hate
happen.
It. I would absolutely.
Oh yeah, I would definitely
the Heat,
hate it.
It'd be over. I'd just give them the championship.
Yeah, because once they have the presence in the middle, I mean, then they have no weakness.
Although it would be hilarious to see Dwight Howard and LeBron's and Wade's egos clash with each other.
Oh yeah, like that would definitely be.
Bosh is like, yeah, I'm okay being the third string. But if Howard had to be the second or third string,
It would definitely be a very different and interesting to follow.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about who the Mavericks can get if they don't get Dwight Howard. Who's the second best situation? Is it Josh Smith? Is it maybe try to convince Chris Paul? What do you think?
They've talked about Josh Smith before. I don't think Chris Paul goes anywhere that Dwight Howard's not. I think if that's the case, he's just going to stay. And he might as well. He's got Doc Rivers there. They got a good system, and they got good facilities. The Mavericks, there's a lot of good free agents. There's Paul Millsap from the Utah. There's Al Jefferson. There's Josh Smith, which would be very good pieces to add. They need a point guard. And I know Shane Larkin was drafted, but I don't think Shane Larkin's let's come in and start you right away kind of guy. I think he's a good backup. He's a good second string. I think you get rid of Collison for sure. You drop that salary.
Yeah.
And I've always been a fan of Collison, but he's not what we need right now.
Mm-mm.
You have the centers really aren't that good. Good right now.
Tiago Splitter's honestly the best.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, besides Dwight, I mean, Dwight's salary is outrageous, and that's why everybody has to open up room for him. But yeah, Tiago Splitter's probably second with Al Jefferson. Andrew Bynum, who knows when if he'll ever play in the NBA again, it seems like.
If his knees come back healed after this and he's doing extensive workouts with no restrictions now, if his knees are back and if he can play like he did when he first came out of high school, but maybe smarter with less turnovers and not fouling people so
much.
And
he's a huge pickup for anybody.
He's just as good as Dwight Howard, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. There was a time when there was a huge debate over who was better.
Yeah.
But centers, that's why Dwight Howard's so popular right now, because he's the only guy that you can really pick up.
That hasn't really had issues with injuries.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's had last year,
a little bit.
Here and there, problems. But I think he's going to be healthy this year. Why I think he's such a hot item. But if the Mavericks are going to get anybody, they need to get a point guard because there's more available. There's Chris Paul, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Jennings, like we said. Even Chauncey Billups is a free agent. Jarrett Jack played very well in the playoffs, free agent. Nate Robinson, free agent. Just very good point guard overload almost of people you could pick up.
Well, if you had to pick one of them and it wasn't Dwight Howard or Chris Paul, who would you pick right now?
I pick up Brandon Jennings because his contract's not very big. Mm-hmm. I think it's $4 million. I mean, that sounds huge to us. But
I would love $4
million. $4 million. Is not bad, especially when it's less than a guy like Jarrett Jack.
Yeah.
And but Nate Robinson's contract's not very big either, so.
And he showed a lot of firepower.
He really showed what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
But Brandon Jennings did it over the course of a season, whereas Nate Robinson did it over a playoff series.
Right.
And I always think it's real risky to go off how hot a guy was for just a little bit.
Right. Well, I'm going to talk just a tiny bit about my Spurs here. I'll tell you what I want to happen. Is I want Ginobili to take less money or retire immediately. And I don't want us to go after Tiago Splitter. Let him go and immediately pick up Al Jefferson. Al Jefferson would save the franchise.
He really could. He'd be a huge pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a very good underrated player because people don't watch Utah.
Yeah.
It's like Atlanta.
He's a great scorer, a great defender, great rebounder, and he would fit in the Spurs system.
Definitely. He'd be a great man down low for the Spurs.
And if they had even two seasons of Duncan and him playing together, I think it's a ring.
Yeah, I think they can win a ring. If everyone keeps playing at the same level and they go injury free, I definitely think Ginobili's someone that he either takes a lot less money.
Mm-hmm.
Or you let him go because, I mean, what he showed in the finals and just his tendency to get injured is just not worth the money.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I love Ginobili. Ginobili is
a great player to watch.
Of all time,
but eventually it's time to say goodbye, like Celtics with Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. Eventually you reach a point where this is the best move for the franchise.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the Rangers. We said we'd talk about them. They're still playing well. They took 2 of 3 from the Yankees. I think they've won now 7 out of 10. And you guys, anyone listening online can correct us if we're wrong. But what all has gone on with them? How did they beat the Yankees?
To be honest, they hadn't been playing well. But like we said, it's just a season of ups and downs for them. And they just came out hot 1 week. And I think with the young team they have and deciding places to put Profar and moving people around, it's just been a different year for the Rangers. And it hasn't been that year of, oh, we're great.
Mm-hmm.
We're in first place. We're making the playoffs. That kind of stuff. I think the biggest news for the Rangers is watching Josh Hamilton suffer right now.
Yeah.
And fans taking pride in that, I guess you could say. But overall, I really don't know what's going to happen to the Rangers because I can't see the future of this team at all.
Well, right now, if you could see the Rangers make any trade, who would you want to trade for and who would you want gone off a team?
I think the biggest person they can move is Kinsler, really, because I think he has the most value and they have Profar there. Profar's a great second baseman. And, you know, sometimes you got two people at a position. I mean, we saw that with San Francisco. We saw Alex Smith and
Kaepernick. Yeah.
Both there. So sometimes you just got to part ways with a guy because the other guy's just as good or if not better.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that Kinsler is a hot item that they can shop around if they want to choose that route. Now, a lot of times that can come to backfire because if you don't get the value you want and you decide to keep the guy, there's a little animosity there between him and the franchise. Right. So I think they need to really think hard about their move and if they choose that as a possibility.
Right. Well, who would you want to see us trade for? Pitching or maybe Stanton or what?
The pitching's been down, so I'd like to see a good pitcher.
Right.
But I honestly don't know because the way they move people around so much recently and are trying to fill holes, you don't really know what's their biggest need. But you can't go wrong with a pitcher. I mean, if you get a good quality pitcher, you're not going to have the problem moving people around because he does one thing. So I definitely think that a pitcher, if you're going to shop Kinsler around, is the best way to go.
All right. Well, let's talk about Wimbledon since we mentioned that earlier. Now, it's not going well for the American men. All Americans are out for the first time in over 100 years, the first time since 1911, that every single American man in the tournament has been out since after the third round. So let's see. John Isner was the high-seeded American, and he'd been playing pretty well. And really, the best news about Isner was everyone else that was highly seeded in his side of the tournament, his half of the bracket, was gone. Federer was gone. Nadal was gone. So he had a wide open run. He only had to face Andy Murray and then face the championship against probably Djokovic. But instead, in his match Wednesday, Isner injured his left knee and had to withdraw. Like, it seized up, couldn't move his leg kind of injury. And then the second high-seeded American, Sam Querrey, lost to Bernard Tomic on Tuesday. And then Tomic proceeded to beat James Blake on Thursday, yesterday, and he lost in straight sets. And then Bobby Reynolds faced top-seeded Novak Djokovic yesterday, and he lost in straight sets. He played really well against him and took the first sets. It took him seven games to win, but he lost in straight sets. And then our last hope, Denis Kudla, lost in straight sets to Ivan Dodig yesterday. So no American men left. So what do you think American tennis has to do to get back to relevancy?
I mean, sometimes you just don't have good tennis players. I mean, look at England. How long did they go before Andy Murray stepped up and they couldn't win their own tournament? I don't know. I mean, we've had ups and downs in tennis. The main thing is this just shows how great Wimbledon is and how much, even if you're not a great tennis fan, you can enjoy Wimbledon.
Yeah, for
just
sure.
Just because there's lots of drama always. And right now with Andy Murray's prominence, and this is his big shot because with Federer and Nadal gone, I know Djokovic is right there. I mean, and he's a big guy to beat. I mean, it's going to be a tough match, and there's other good players too. But I just think it's his time. It's his chance. If he wants to win, it's his chance because a lot of the other guys are out. And that would definitely be big for Wimbledon, and I'd love to see the guy win because it's what they want. Yeah, I mean, it's their own tournament. They haven't won it in I don't know how many years.
They haven't won it in a very long time except for the Olympics last year when Murray
managed to win.
They haven't won the actual Wimbledon tournament in, I think, well over 50 years.
And that would just be great. It'd be great to see. Yeah. So definitely, I think I'm rooting for Andy Murray on this one. And I can't wait to watch what happens because there's always a lot of drama when you get that far in the tournament.
What do you think? Yesterday, a former tennis star was one of the play-by-play guys, and he was talking about why tennis had gone down as far as it had gone down in America. And he says it's because it's not been accessible to underprivileged kids to come play tennis because it's, you know, fees for the tennis club and not a lot of high schools have tennis. So do you think it's that that's caused it or just even the best talent just doesn't want to play tennis? They want to play basketball and football and baseball.
That's always going to be a struggle you face. And that is part of it. The cost of tennis is part of it. It's like golf. I mean, it's not to that level where you have to, you know, pay $40-$50 or an extremely large amount of money to be a member.
Right.
But it definitely is usually more expensive to play tennis. And if you want the right facilities, you want the right gear. I mean, there's only so much you can have in basketball. You have basketball and a hoop, and as long as it's 10 foot, it's all the same.
Yeah.
And in football, as long as you have a football, and you're athletic, it's all the same wherever you go. But tennis, there's a big difference in rackets. A lot of it's coaching. A lot of these coaches, your best tennis coaches are paid high amounts of money to coach tennis and to an individual. And so it's not like you're just having the best athletes go out and play tennis, where in other countries, I mean, tennis is right there next to soccer as the second biggest sport.
In other countries, tennis is federally paid for. Like for Spain or for Serbia or Switzerland, where Federer is from, the state pays for their tennis programs. They don't have kids that have to pay for themselves.
Tennis is like golf in the sense that a lot of the high schools, it's just somebody paid to take them to tournaments.
Yeah.
And your own practice is, you know, on your own terms. Yeah. It's like golf. Like, the golf coach is probably not a great golfer in a small high school setting.
Yeah.
It's the same with tennis. But usually those coaches are basketball, football specialists, or maybe even a baseball.
Right.
And that's just why there's more focus on the team sports than there is the individual sports like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's end the day with another update on Aaron Hernandez. Now, he's officially been charged with murder and weapons charges, and he could face life in prison for this one. But he's now also a lead suspect in an investigation into a three-person shooting which killed two people back in 2012. And the reason now that they think Odin Lloyd was killed was because he had information that he was going to turn in about Hernandez's killing these other people. Now, this is all speculation, but he has officially been charged with the murder of Odin Lloyd, and he is in the process of finding all that stuff out. He wasn't allowed to post bail. He has no bail, so he's in jail no matter what, because they said he was a flight risk. And then the really sad statistic about all this is he's among 27 NFL players who've been arrested since the Super Bowl. And that's been for all sorts of charges, whether it's spousal abuse, children abuse, embezzling, money laundering, or murder in the case of Hernandez. So what do you think's going on NFL defensive, like disciplinary-wise?
I just think it's very sad, this whole situation. And if you haven't had a time to really think about it, you need to think about it, because this is not a joke. This is not something – this is someone's life that an NFL player that I think a lot of kids look up to. Mm-hmm. And for that to happen – to a franchise like the Patriots, and they did the absolutely right thing, you know, immediately cut him, you know, disband separate yourself completely from him.
Yeah,
they even took his jerseys immediately out. Everything was stripped. Every connection to Aaron Hernandez is now gone. I think if you went there, you didn't know. You'd never know he played if you didn't watch the news. If you just went to the Patriots organization, but I definitely think it's sad that someone of this caliber can do such a thing, and then just the way they went about trying to it almost spells guilty to
destroy the surveillance, destroy the cell phone,
the cell phone and the surveillance and.
Yeah.
The cleanup crew that was hired to come in and, you know, clean everything up. It's like, of course you did it. If you didn't do it, you would come. And I can't say he's guilty. He's innocent until proven guilty. But, I mean, it's really hard to fight for a guy that
has done so much stupid stuff.
Has done so much, so much stuff. And it's just really disappointing to fans of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now, When you judge the three main leagues in the United States, the NBA, the Major League Baseball, and the National Football League, which one's the best in terms of conduct? I think it's the NBA.
Yeah, because the MLB has all the drug problems and
they're having all the PED problems and just a lot of lying in that field.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA, I know there's bad stuff that happens in the NBA. I know that. There's bad things that happen in the NBA. We all know that there is, and a lot of them are reported. But the overall conduct of just players and policemen, like cops, I think it's fairly well.
Yeah.
The NFL is terrible right now. When you consider this, you can consider steroid use. There's a scandal every week in the NFL.
Yeah, and the Bounty Gate stuff.
I just heard about Josh Brent the other day. Something again. I know he's
failed another drug test.
Yeah, failed another drug test. And I know he's kind of just one of those guys, but this is something that's common. Mm-hmm. And when it becomes common, there's something you got to do to crack down on everything.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about this and other issues next week.
I'm sure it will develop a whole lot more.
Of course. There's going to be more drama. That's just what happens in the NFL. There's drama. We'll talk that, and we're hoping that we can bring Robert Reed in. He's our fantasy draft person to talk to. We're going to have a big fantasy football draft special that will lead up to what's going on in a few weeks when fantasy football starts up, and we're going to do a lot of stuff about that. We're also going to do a lot of high school stuff. We're planning on having a series of coaches come in and players talk about their chances to win state. That's something we're really looking forward to. But just a lot of stuff going on. Getting ready for football, getting ready for school to start. So make sure you stay tuned to KETR's Locker Room over the next few weeks. I'm Cooper Welch.
And I'm Taylor Phelps.
And this is KETR's Locker Room. We'll see you next week.